This conference will now be recorded.
Technology. Don't you love it? Okay, so let me do a review once again, and I'm hoping you're grasping and understanding what faith is, because as we said in the beginning of this study, that a lot of people start and stopped at Matthew 21, 22, where he says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And the reason why we stop there is not because we were innocent, it's because we like that answer. We turn God into some sort of genie. But once again, everything has to be done with sound doctrine, the complete word on that topic. So it's very important for us to know everything about these things that he's giving us before we just jump on a piece of it, okay? Because that's misleading when you just take a piece or just take a scripture by itself and not take the entire word, what it's saying on that topic. So we first asked the question, did we really understand faith? And we saw some interesting facts about faith. And then we saw that you can't be a Christian without faith. You know, I mean, he said it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, so that's very important. Faith by far is the thing that gets us to God. We have to have that. And then we started going through faith step by step. We said that faith is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But that's just the definition of faith. The thing is, you have to have faith in something. If we're being honest, a lot of us have faith in our prayers or in what we want or in an outcome. And this is why we struggle with God. When people say, you know, I'm weak in my faith or I'm losing my faith, it's because their faith wasn't in God. They had faith, but not in God. And if it's not based on God, now, when it's based on God, it doesn't do my wants. It goes over God's will. In other words, I want God's answer on it. I want him to say no when the answer is no, not just yes because I want it. That's faith. Faith is, God, I want your answer for it. You know, the right faith will have the right purpose when you're living a life totally for him. Amen. And that's how, you know, you get Joseph and you get Job, who were able to go through some very unfortunate things in their lives and still glorify God, because they were like, well, God allowed it, so it must be good. Their faith didn't weaken based off of what they seen and what they felt. It was strengthened based off of, God, I just want to make sure this is of you and this is from you. Now, remember, we get faith from hearing the word. Okay. And we have to hear the word of Christ. That's why it says faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of Christ. And why did it break it down that way? First of all, it's showing that we must go to church, but what they're preaching better be the word of Christ. You have some that go to church and they're busy patting themselves on the back of just going to church. That's not enough. Okay. In fact, you could be in more danger going to somebody that's not feeding you with the right food. And that's the word of Christ. That's why we have to be Bereans and we have to check everything that's being taught to us. Okay. And so it's so important for us to make sure that we're not only going to hear. And that also means, have you ever gone to church and the minute you get there, you think, okay, I'm here, and maybe I'll go to sleep. Or maybe I got other things on my mind, or I'm doing something else, and you allow other distractions to come in, well, then you're not hearing. So it's very important for us to hear and make sure that what I'm hearing is from the Bible. And that's so important. And then in receiving the word, I have to receive it with faith. What does that mean? So in other words, it's saying the Israelites failed because they heard the word, but they didn't go to it with the mindset of, this is what I'm going to do. Unfortunately, you have a lot of Bible studiers today, people who study, and they'll say they study, and that's great. But if you study not to apply it, it's worthless. Do you understand that? So faith is the fact of, I'm going to the word so I know how to live. It is my source of truth. It's the thing that I'm going to apply it. Okay. And remember, belief is my faith displayed. That's why it says, a God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he who believes. Belief is not just a feeling I have or a thought I have. No. You know, James 2 showed us. No. He gave Abraham as an example. It wasn't until he displayed him getting ready to sacrifice his son that he was showing God, if God, you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. He could have used an argument that I think most of us would use and some of us probably use today. Well, God, you know, you promised me this and you waited all this time to give it to me, and now you're giving it to me. Now you want me to kill him? Come on. But no, what his response was, okay, took that 3-day journey. And that's belief. In our same way, when it comes to everything we do, when I read the Bible and it tells me to do something, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's undesirable, me doing it shows faith. Why? God said it. Well, Keith, it doesn't seem like it's working. Why do you keep doing it? Because God said it. Some of us make the mistake of looking at our outcome. Have you ever, things seem to fall in place? So you think because of your faith, and you have some people that are not doing anything that the Bible is saying, but things fall in place and they think, well, then this is good. I'm blessed. But that's not what the Bible teaches. He's not going to ask, hey, how did everything turn out? He's going to ask, so tell me what you did. Think about that. See, if I did exactly what he told me and things didn't fall into place, but I kept doing what he told me, that's a testing of my faith. Think of that, because my answer would be, I just did what you told me to do, God, right? But if I let the situation or the outcome dictate that, then I don't have faith. I have sight. And a lot of people's sight is their faith, which is not faith at all. That's why he separates the two, your senses and your faith, two different things. Faith is strengthened by ministers that display God's power, not their own. And when I say God's power, you have some excellent speakers out there that give some very motivational speeches, but they're not from God, right? And you got to be very careful of that, because they'll say stuff that'll touch you fleshly, touch you emotionally, touch you intellectually, but it's not spiritually. And if it's not from God, you're going to end up following that man, which means you're going to be led astray. So then we've seen, what do we need to do once we have true faith? First of all, we saw that all actions without faith are sin. I mean, that should kind of really help us, because that's called doubt. Doubt isn't the feeling you get. Now, let me stress this. You'll hear me say this over and over again. The feelings you get, you guys, are the desire. The desire is not the sin. However, if I lean upon my desire, then I sin. Sin is if I do anything outside or outside the purpose of God, if you want to give a simplistic answer to sin. It's when I do something not based on God, okay? So faith is me doing everything based on God, right? So that's why two people can do the same thing, but it's their purpose that makes it a sin or not. And I have to make sure. So if I do something not based on God for any other reason, that's doubt, and doubt kills faith. We must increase our faith, as we've seen in the one verse in 2 Peter, where it made us understand that faith has to be increased and added to. There's ingredients. There's that whole entire thing. Hopefully we do that sermon sometime in the future, in which he says add faith to goodness and add goodness to knowledge. And he went down the list. And these are all very powerful, godly characteristics that are very spiritual and very important to our walk, and we have to have them in what's called increasing measure. That means I have to have more and more of it as I keep growing while I apply it to each of those things. One thing I do in that sermon is I try to show how they go together, how they complement each other, and how they work. And it's all binded together in the end of it with agape love. So it's very important that we have that. And then use faith to know what part we play in the body. It's surprising today. Well, it can't be surprising, because it's actually more common. Most Christians have no idea what part they play in the body. Everybody wants to be something, right? Instead of saying, God, would you have me to be? And like you said, everybody can't be the hand. Everybody can't be the eye, right? And he already appointed you to what you're going to be. He's not saying, man, I'm so impressed with that Keith, I'm going to make him lips or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? He before I was born, he said, this is what Keith is going to be. And the same thing with you. And the only way we know that is by living by faith. That's where we last left off. So where we're at now, here it is. Okay. So we need to test. Hopefully everybody can see that. Here, I'll make it a little bigger. Here we go. All right. We need to test whether we are in faith by testing if we are following Christ no matter how things seem. That's important. Both the COVID-19 and the situation with the rioting and with what happened with the police and the killing are testing of our faith just like everything else. In fact, when things are calm, that's a testing of your faith as well. What I'm saying is, if there's anything that can make you react other than on God, period, it's showing that your faith is failing. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 8 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now, the reason why he doesn't give a step-by-step on this is because that's the entire Bible. He's letting you know the way you'll fail the test is if you look at your life, and we can do it every day, come home from work, the question you'll ask is, okay, what did you do? Everything you dealt with, and why? What was the purpose of doing? And if what you did wasn't based on God's word, it wasn't faith. And a lot of us fail today. And a lot of us fail every day. But a lot of us don't examine ourselves. He made very clear. He says, do you not realize Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? And he's not saying when you fail the test, Christ is not in you. He's saying you don't realize he's in you. You're not living by Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be spiritual, right? But we still keep being emotional, intellectual, cultural, or downright ignorant. And we allow those things to run us instead of us being Christ-led. Christ-led. He goes on in verse 6 and says, and I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. He's talking about especially the apostles. It's saying, now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. Keyword, seem. He's basically saying, in the world, and that's why I have to be careful as a pastor, there's certain things that ministers and Christians are going to do that the world will go, yep, you're a Christian. But are they right? What are they basing that on? And what are you basing it on? Right? You have some that in these situations that are going on will react emotionally, once again, or intellectually, or put on some sort of show to make you go, wow, but did I do what I was supposed to? And that's why he says, going back, not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. They're going to still follow God, despite the fact that it may seem like others have failed. You're following God. And he says in verse 8, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. And that always resonated in my walk. What I mean by that is, there's a lot of things that I know people may give me suggestions on doing, but if it's not based on the truth, I have to not do it. I'm very careful, and you should be as a Christian also. You want to be able, I always said, and I had to make this a long time ago, and this is something I think we all should use, is where everything I do, I know one day I have to answer to God, right? And if God says, oh, Keith, why did you do it? And if my answer isn't because your word said, I'm in trouble. Do y'all get this? I know some of the excuses we give today may sound good, may make us feel good, but just like he said, Lord, when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only he who does the will of my Father. So a lot of them are going to have these excuses, you know, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? He's going to go, I never knew you, get away from me. So that reverence should make me check everything I do when I go to work, when I come home, when I'm with my kids, when I'm with my wife, when everything, is it based on and from God? Now, also recognize God tests our faith also. Very common. In James 1, 2 through 4, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, a Christian walking by faith would rejoice. They would hear this and go, oh, man, I'm glad you said that. So I'm looking forward to my trials. But if we're being honest, most Christians today are struggling because of our trials. Why? Because we're not living by faith. See, faith would make me go, because he says, consider it pure joy. He didn't say it's going to feel joyful. He's saying, no, you need to be joyful in this. Why? Because it's doing something that you need. He says in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So a lot of us will say, you know, we talk out of both sides of our mouth, in which we'll say to God, in one sense, God, I want to be everything you want me to be. But in the other sense, God, I don't want to go through these trials. And he just gave you the answer. He just said, no, this is the way this is going to happen. For you to have perseverance, in order for you to mature, in order for you to have everything you need, you got to go through trials. And not just one or two trials, trials of many kinds. And they're going to build something up in you as long as you're walking by faith. And this is just one of the verses that show that God tests our faith. He'll allow things to happen in our lives to see if we're walking based on him. Once again, when both of these major incidents happen, and we're going to have other incidents in our lifetime, the question is, am I spiritually prepared? Did I react based off my faith in him, or did I react based off of something else? And that's going to be the definer. Now, if you did it based on something else, it allows you to repent and then readjust yourself. Praise God for that. You know what I mean? Don't beat yourself up. There's no condemnation in that. You don't turn away and say, I'm a failure. What you do is you readjust and you do what he says. And this is why we're in his word. Once again, that source of truth, to do it based off of what he says. But he tests our faith, and it doesn't always feel good. And that's just one of the verses that show his test of our faith. Now, those tests help every aspect of our lives to be lived by faith so that we don't fall. Those tests are important. Trials are important. Hardships are important. Sufferings are important. And I'm not talking about self-imposed or because you did something ignorant when those things come. It's when God allows them to come in. Look what he says in Hebrews 10, 35, 39. He starts off with, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Why did he start off with that? Because you have a lot of people that are walking and doing everything God says. It doesn't seem like it's working. And then they go, you know what? I'm done. I've seen it in my lifetime. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure there's some people even on this line who have felt to do it. Some are planning on doing it. And it's bad because our confidence are based on outcome or feeling or frustration, because we have a concept of God, not God. When we have God, I'm going to feel these things, and the feeling might not go away, but I have trust and a faith in God, and that's what sustains me. That's the thing that keeps me. So when he says, so don't throw away that confidence, because a lot of our confidence is usually based on sight, if we're being honest. Think about it. A lot of us, you know, you may have gone to church because you've seen something happen in somebody's life, and because of what you saw happen in that person's life, you want that something. So you're walking by sight, right? But those who read what God says and are following based on what God says, you're walking by faith. Even though it doesn't seem like it's working, you're confident. Why? Because it came from God. You see how that works? Even though it doesn't look like it, even though somebody who hasn't done it got exactly what you wanted, you still follow him because of the confidence you have in him. Does that make sense? Hopefully we're grasping that. He says, it will be richly rewarded. He says in verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. If we don't get it now, I still stress this. If you don't get what you think you should get now, when you finally get it in glory, okay, when you're finally with him and you get it, I can assure you, based on what his word's saying, you're going to sit there and go, and I don't care how devastating your life may have been or what you may have gone through, you're going to say, you mean that's all I had to get and I get all of this? It will not compare, is what God is saying. It won't come close to comparing. Hopefully you understand that, okay? And that's why he makes us understand that. You need to persevere so when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And now watch this. He says, for in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And remember, our time is all distorted, but watch what he says. Here is the part that lets us know who his are. He says, but my righteous one will live by faith. What he didn't say was my righteous one will have a faith. He didn't say my righteous one will claim faith. No, he says my righteous one will live by faith. Did you catch that? Okay. That's going to be our calling card. It's not going to be my righteous one will have the best businesses. They're going to be the most successful. They're going to be the most happy. No, he's going to say they live their life fully based on what I said. But watch what he says. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Why? Well, watch what he says about those who shrink back. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Do you get that? See, now, if I'm not, To shrink back means I stop walking by faith. I change my life and go, I give up. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go marry who I want to marry. I'm going to drink and take drugs and do everything. I'm going to live my life based on me. That's shrinking back. And he says, and are destroyed. He's saying, no, 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 we're the ones. He said, but we are of those who believe. Remember what belief is. That means I'm living my life. It's displaying my faith and are saved. You see how that works? So this process is so important for us to make sure we're living it. Faith isn't something that's applied here and there that you can write in the journal and say, I showed a sign of faith today. It should be in, you sit down and have a bowl of cereal. You should do that by faith. And you may say, Pastor, how do I do that? And that's a growing point. And that's why he says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That takes faith. My living by faith, that means everything I do will display me doing it based on him. Now, understanding faith and being united in faith with the rest of the body is the purpose of the church service. Remember I told you before, I know we've kind of taken church and made it a motivational place. We made it a feel-good place. We made it a place that Christians can kind of cop out of ministering to people and bring their friends who are not Christians, and they'll just bring them to church. But the purpose of church is shown to us in the Bible. It is a actually putting together of faith. This is in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It was he who gave some. Now, first of all, God's the one who created these offices, and they were all made for a purpose. That's why he said he gave some to be apostles. The apostles are the ones that laid the groundwork. All right, they laid the foundation. All right, when Paul says, I laid the foundation of Christ, you build on that. What he's saying is they took it from Christ to make sure everybody was building on the foundation of Christ. Okay, and then he said some to be prophets. The rest of the New Testament was written by prophets. Of course, some of them were apostles and prophets, but the prophecy came from God. The word of God, of course, as is given to them, and they wrote it. Some to be evangelists. Evangelists are the traveling, the ones who went to other areas to plant the churches, to help the churches. So they go to other areas. We still have that. That's why it says do the work of an evangelist. So that's as we travel, our lives are ministries. Some to be pastors and teachers. Very necessary. And the pastor is the one that's planted in that one area to take care of a certain flock under him. And then you have teachers too. Pastors can be both pastors and teachers. And teachers can, there can be just teachers. Their job is just to teach. Now, he put these here and he says, why? Verse 12, to prepare who? God's people. Did y'all catch that? Now, I know you may say, are you saying, Pastor, don't bring an unbeliever to church? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying be careful, because your goal, if you bring them to church, is for you guys to talk about it. Not for you to go, come to my church. Wasn't that great? Amen. And they're going, amen. I'm never going there again. Why? Because they have no idea what was just being taught. Remember, it's spiritually discerned. However, when they come and they ask you, hey, can I go to church with you, or you bring them, you want to have the responsibility of sitting down and saying, so did you understand what that was meant? You know, maybe we can talk about it, and so on and so forth. You want to encourage that. But the purpose of the church is to prepare God's people. For what? Works of service. In other words, so God's people are doing what God intended God's people to do. If we're being honest and you look at the church today, we're just living our lives. You know what I mean? Sometimes we'll go out and we'll do good deeds, right? We'll go out and we'll do something for people. Isn't that great? But a lot of the world is doing that. So what is our works of service? It's so much more, because it's going to be not in just what we do. A lot of it's going to be in how we do it. When we do it, if we do it, all that stuff comes into play, right? And that teaching of it, and not just how we do it, when we do it, it's that we're doing it together. That's why I'm saying God's people for works of service, watch this, so that the body of Christ may be built up. One thing that's very disturbing, and I was saying this earlier, you look at the church, and we can even take a small portion of it. Well, it's a big portion of it, where we allow culture or race to separate the church. And that should not be. There should be no such thing as the black church and the white church. And then we have different views and we allow those things to separate us. How can we be the body? My body's not separated by the black part of my body and the white part of my body, and the other parts don't speak to each other. If my body acted that way, I'd be in danger, because I wouldn't be able to do anything, because it'd be fighting against each other. This is why communication is so necessary. You know, this is one of those incidents when we see this happen once again with the protests and things to separate us. A Christian immediately goes, man, there is going to be trouble in the body. How do we fix this? And this is what we're supposed to be teaching. And that's why I got to be careful to make sure I'm teaching the body has to come together on this. We have to figure out how can we do this. There's another verse that says there is to be no division. And I have to keep doing this. In verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith. Keyword, until. So my job is to keep doing it until, right? Until all of us reach unity. That's oneness in the faith. It doesn't mean, hey, your faith is different than my faith. I've heard that statement said before, and it's not necessarily true. Your faith may be stronger than my faith, but it better be the same faith, because there is only one faith. The Bible tells us that. All right? There's only one faith. That's what it says. One faith, one hope, one word, one God. And that verse lets us know that. And that's what he's saying. So my job is to teach the faith. You get this? Okay? So if you think you have a faith, once again, it's probably not based on God. So our job is to make sure not only that I'm teaching that you may have faith, I'm teaching that we all may have the faith together. Because a big part of it is that when we go out into the world and we do something, they won't see separation. And here's the deal. They won't even see us. They'll see God. Because we'll be displaying it godly, because all we're doing is what our Father tells us. We'll know when to start. We'll know when to stop. We won't be reacting emotional. We won't be snapping out. We won't overdo it. We won't give in to sin. Why? And we'll do it as a group. We don't really see that today, do we?
I have a question.
Absolutely.
I think he said it in Ephesians also, or maybe Ephesians 2, but when it talks about we were created for good works, is it talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's a good verse to point to. Absolutely. The good works he created us for. Remember, he didn't just bring us here to make us feel good after we said we're saved and then go live your life. It's a purpose. We became part of a unit and we play a part. So what we should have done the minute we were born, parents should raise their kids to recognize their part that they play in that unit. But we don't do that. We start raising our kids to be individuals out there in the world to be whatever they want to be. And that messes everything up. So then when they get older, they don't want to be a part. They want, you know, cater to what I want to do and my legacy and what I want. He created us for works that he created. And he created us with what we need in order to do it. That's why I say it once again, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So not just in the faith, and the reason why I highlighted made bold the faith, because that's what we're talking about is faith, but also in the knowledge. Knowledge is not just knowing the word is relationship with Christ. The more I know the word, I'm not just saying I study it and I say I read it, you know, all in one year. I mean, I know it when I know the word, right? That's me knowing Christ. And when more I know Christ, the more I mature. That's what it says, and become mature, attaining to the, watch this, whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Because we together form Christ. You get this? Okay, so all the stuff he said he's able to do, and he said we'll be able to do greater things. He's not talking about as in individuals, but as Christ, as one body. This is how powerful the faith is, and this is the purpose of the church. The church is not to make you feel better. The church is not for you to have your dreams. The church is not there to come there and make you feel good and to motivate you in your own individual endeavors. It's made for us to come together. So then when I go out to different jobs and we're in different areas and of different races, they still see oneness. Are we showing this oneness? Or do we allow all the other things? And the reason why we don't show the oneness, we're not walking by faith. Understanding it. Now, the final result will be a total trust and dependence on Christ. That's why I said the reason why this became one of my favorites, and maybe that's not right because I'm not supposed to say a favorite, but it's one of the things that was one of the most strongest verses in my life was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. When he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The key there is not the, and I think people don't have a problem with the trust in the Lord with all your heart, but he made clear, lean not, and I probably should have put that in bold, on your own understanding. He's seriously telling me, Keith, you're going to have sometimes me telling you to do something, and it's going to make absolutely no sense. What are you going to do? Think about it. A lot of us, I know you have something you're going through, and emotionally or even intellectually, and it makes so much sense if God would just do this. But no, he tells you to do this. And you're like, but are you going to trust him? That's what faith does. Faith has nothing to do with my sight. I can attest to this to my own life, where I've seen there's stuff I truly desire, and I think if he just gave me this, this would work out. And would, well, would you want me to do what, God? Right? And the word is showing, no, no, you got to go this way. And I will go, oh. And I go that way because I trust in him. That's faith. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, we'll say amen to that, but do you acknowledge him and when you're eating your meal, when you're driving down the street, when you're taking a walk? Are you checking with him, acknowledging him? Do you walk down the street in a godly way? You have to acknowledge him, because watch this, and he will make your path straight. The reason why we struggle in life is because we keep trying to make our path straight. We keep trying to walk in a straight line, and we can't do it. That's why I just acknowledge him, and then I walk. If I just follow what he says, I always say it's like the new GPS. And when my sister first got, when they first came out, and I remember she was coming back from some from this spot, and she called me. She said, "I think this thing got me lost." And I said, "Just follow what it says." Now, I'm not saying to trust in the GPS is God, but at that time I was saying, if it gets you lost, I'll come get you wherever you're at. But either which way, just do what it says. And later on, she said, "Yep, it brought me right where I thought. It just took us a different way." And now, even more so, that's what Christ is saying. He wants to see how much we trust him when he makes me make a turn, when I go, but all I had to do was go straight, God. Now, is my faith in him or is it in me? Look at your life. Some decisions you're making, some desires you have, did you make the decision based on anything other than God? You lack faith. Get this? I want him to make my path straight because I can't do it. I can't. There are a lot of people who've spent their entire life, and at the end of their life, they look back and go, I really messed up. How I raised my kids, there were certain aspects of that where I thought I had it down to a science, and it wasn't until they got older, moved out, started having their own kids, I looked back and said, oh, I messed up. Man, you want to take that back. But if I would have acknowledged him in all my ways, not became this, I'm dad number one, don't worry, I got this all together, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Instead of going each day, all right, God, what do you want me to do next with your children that you put under my care? That's why I have faith allows us not to compromise the word, not to allow the flesh to make us miss the blessing of the word, and to tell the true difference between good and bad. We're so confused on what's good and what's bad because we do not follow the word. Today, we compromise the word like crazy. I know there are some undesirable things in this word. I know it. But that's why desire is not the thing that we're supposed to walk by. In fact, the corruption of the world was caused by desire of man. It says that in 2 Peter. If you start from 3, I think it's in verse 7 where it ends up saying that, 7 or 4, one or two. But starting 3, when you get to it, it's saying, and the corruption of the world caused by evil desire. And the word evil is really not in there. It should just say desire. We'll see something in the word that we don't like, and then we start distorting it. And we've been doing it ever since. And the reason why I'm bringing you back is because in the same way that I'm going to have to, you're going to have to. God's going to go, tell me when I said that. And what are you going to say? Well, God, you said this here, but you were wrong, and things changed, and you didn't see this. You're going to say that to God? Or are you going to say, I did what your word said. I do exactly what my Father tells me. We'll close on these last two. When it comes down to it, we must live by faith. As short as this verse is by far the most powerful verse for a Christian to become a Christian and know what a Christian is to do. When he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith, the most important part in this is the not by sight. He didn't say, try not to let sight get in the way. He didn't say, give a little bit to the sight because stuff's going to make sense. And this is what happens. People come to church because they want me to preach sense, common sense. They want me to give you something that you can see. Well, my job is just to give you what he says. Faith is this what he said? Okay, I'm doing it. And then as you're doing it in some of your lives, you're going to do it and it's going to look like it's failing. And did you catch what I said? It's going to look like it's failing. And then you're going to check the word again. Yeah, I'm doing exactly what he says, right? And you keep doing it, it's going to look like it's failing. It's going to feel like it's failing. And if I let sight come in there, I'm going to compromise. I'm going to twist it. I'm going to change it. Why? Because God, I really wanted to do this, and it didn't look like you were doing it for me. But when I just walk by faith, not by sight, I'm going to see things. But if it's not in line with God, I'm not doing it. I'm going to just follow him. So how do we live by faith? And that's where we'll close. Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, remember, in John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's understanding that Jesus is the Word. When you get to verse 14 of that. So I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus mean, okay, I'm fixing my eyes on what the Word is telling me. Why? Because it's the author and perfecter of what? My faith. He not only wrote the book on faith, which we have the Word, and that's who he is. He came and showed us exactly how to do it. As Sister Lisa was saying, remember, he came and showed how to do it perfectly. If he couldn't sin, it wasn't him doing it perfectly. He wouldn't have been able to, right? Perfection is, I did it so I didn't sin. And that's what he's saying. So he's the one that shows us how to do it. And then to give us an example of how he did it, watch what he did. It says, for the joy set before him. In other words, he fixed his eyes for the joy. He fixed his eyes on the joy of God. He set before him, endured the cross. What does that mean? It means instead of him focusing on the pain he had to go through down here, he kept locked in on what on the Father and the joy of being with him. Did you catch that? It said, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're walking today, and we're going to be influenced. We're going to be touched by. You're going to get a lot of feelings. You're going to have stuff happen to you. And are you continually focusing on Christ? Or are we going to be like Peter and look away? Amen? We got to make sure our focus is always on him. And that's life. That's living. Because you're going to go through some things, and a lot of things are going to make sense. But we don't walk by sense. We walk by faith. So we'll stop there. And then God willing, we will, I don't know about finish up. We probably will finish up. Yeah, it looks like we'll finish up. Next week, just let everybody know, we will not be here. God willing, Sister Lisa and I are going to go hiking. So, and not heavy duty hiking. We don't do that anymore. We're too old. But we're just going to get out and try to get around and do some hiking out there just to get away. So pray for us on that. So God willing, you will see us the week after or hear us the week after. And I'm working with the board very closely on when we will be opening. We're putting things together. We're praying about it, making sure we're making wise decisions. So hopefully you'll hear more on that very soon. So study this. Hopefully you have your questions. And then, and not next week, the week after, we can resume, God willing. Amen? Any questions? Is that a yes, no, or was that just a lot of noise?
Oh, you beat me down.
Oh, I beat you. Praise God.
You beat me up. Praise That's God. Right.
Praise That's God. Right. Praise God. Yeah, we can get beat our bodies and allow this to get us in the right direction, and praise God for that.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
All right. All right. We have no other questions. Then let me stop this, because if I don't, it'll keep going.